I feel such a wonderful presence of the Holy Ghost here tonight. I'm so thankful to Pastor Portman. He is my friend, and we again have grown to get to know each other. Isn't it amazing how we, from different places, different backgrounds, different cultures, upbringings, once we come into the body of Christ, the Bible says that we're grafted in. That means there's no end to you and start to me, right? Because we're bound by Jesus Christ. And when I see my brother, I get to see a reflection of Christ in him. And hopefully when he sees me, he sees a reflection of Christ in me. And when I look at you, I see a reflection of Christ as it emanates from you, because we're part of the body. We are blessed. We are blessed to be in the house of God tonight. We are blessed to be part of the body of Christ tonight. Amen? Amen. Again, it's such a privilege to be with you. It's starting to feel like home. You know, it looks different, but it's the same feeling. You may be seated. I'm going to share with you quickly. There's a brother in our church, and please understand, we have about 60 to 70 people in our church service. We pastor more than that, but you know how it goes. So you can imagine that our situation looks a little bit different than your situation. Not good, bad, or, you know, any of those things. It's just different. I'm going to share this story with you because I want you to understand that he's the same God in a small building as he is in a large building, or a large building as he is in my home as he is in your home. Had a brother call me up just a day before Thanksgiving. He said, "Pastor, I've received some bad news." Now, as a pastor, we're used to being part of those moments of your life that are either really low are really high. So after the last couple of years of been doing this, I've learned to kind of receive this information, but it still hurts, it still stings. And so I braced myself, and he said, "Pastor, my lungs are riddled with cancer." He said, "I have 6 months to live." He said, and I don't really know what to do from here. And again, I'm sitting on the phone, and I'm not face-to-face, and I have to come up with something clever, something that will hopefully cheer this guy. This is what's going through my mind, right? And all I could utter was, "I'm going to pray with you. And I'm going to believe God with you." And so we began to pray, and we began to believe God. And we seen him this morning, and he wasn't looking real good, but I called him to the front anyway. And I said, "We're going to pray for our brother because we believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask." Right? We believe that God is the same here as he is anywhere else where they're doing all these miracles and we hear of all these wonderful things. And so he came up to the front, and here's what I think is fabulous is, as I'm sitting here tonight with this beautiful surrounding, I saw the same exact thing. Men laying hands on their brother, believing God. Men coming together, ladies praying for one purpose with one thought in mind, that God is able to do what we believe that he can do and what we pray that he will do. So it's just amazing to me that we, all the way up in Waupun, Wisconsin, where we are surrounded by cornfields, are experiencing the same God that you down here are experiencing, and we are moving in the same sort of ways. We're not disjointed or disconnected. Your pastor doesn't do something that I don't do. We are all moving according to the Word of God, and you can feel good knowing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 43 through 45. And just allow me to minister tonight. Again, I'm feeling at home, so I feel that God has given me a message, and I want to deliver it. Mark chapter 10, verse 43, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Can we pray together? Lord Jesus, we thank you. I pray that you would have your way here tonight. God, that your sweet presence, Lord, would be upon us and that we would feel you and that we would receive the word. I thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. I felt in the spirit today that, and I'm stepping out on a limb again because I realize I'm just a visiting minister, but I felt that there's somebody in the house of God today that is saying, I'm on the fence. I'm just not sure. I don't know if I want to continue on this journey. I was reading the banner over here, the journey. I don't know if this prayer thing is for me. I'm not sure about all these scriptures. Is fasting really something that I want to be a part of? Is being in the house of God something that I want to commit to? I'm struggling with my faith, and I want you to know that these are normal things for an individual to go through, but I want to talk about the Lord a little bit tonight. I want to talk about Jesus a little bit tonight. I want to talk about where we're at in Him. I want to ask the question, who is great in the eyes of the Lord? Who's great in the eyes of our Father? See, God honors the lost, the weak, the humble, children, and the merciful. This is what the Bible says. The reality of status in the eyes of government and society and on our Facebook post, it does not even get close to measuring up to how God views His children. What I want us to understand tonight is God is good. He is good. And that's what I've titled my message, He is Good. Matthew 19, 16 and 17 says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. I love here how Jesus is acknowledging his deity. He wasn't saying, no, I'm not good. That's not what Jesus was saying. And I think sometimes we read that, and again, if you prescribe to a different way of thinking as far as God being in three persons, you may think that he's going, no, I'm not good. God is good. No, what he was saying is you realize something in me. Yes, if you're calling me good, you're not wrong. There's none good but God, realizing I'm him. This is what the Bible says. He is acknowledging his deity. He is telling this young man, yes, you're right, I'm good. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All right, Apostolics 101, are we ready? Hebrews chapter 1:1-3, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This is Jesus. This is who we worship. God is good. It never ceases to amaze me when I watch my kids. My son Jason, he's a very interesting young man. He's got a motor, like most 9-year-old boys do. He has a motor, he'll irritate the fire out of you. You know what I'm saying? Okay, parents, come on, you're with me. I love my kid. But there's nothing like when we get into the house of God and I see my son clapping his hands or tapping his foot, And there's nothing greater that when a brother comes forward, my son, he's the first one to stand up. Always. He's ready to go before the preacher says go. I love it. Look, I'm trying to explain how good God is. See, because I don't come from that. That's not my background. That's not my story. And I'm not here to get into all that, but when I look at my children and I see the love of God move through them, and he's the first one up here. See, he was standing back by me while we were praying for you, bro, for a second. And then he seen an opening, so he started to duck between people and under arms. Why? So he could get his hand on your back. See, my son has faith like a child. And honestly, I'm going to tell you this truthfully. When there's somebody that needs to be prayed for, I like taking my son because my son's serious about it. For those that have heard some of my story before, you know that my daughter's been healed in her ear. See, by this time in her life, she wasn't supposed to be able to hear or speak anymore. One of these days, I'm going to get her to sing for you. She's still learning how to play the piano. But listen to me when I say this. These aren't just dad ears. When I hear her sing, I hear the power of God move through a person. And to me, it speaks to how good God is. Because again, that's not my story. That's not where I come from. So for those that might be sitting here today going, where's my faith? Where am I at? I want you to try to look around and see who God is and how he is moving. And maybe you don't necessarily see him in your own situation as clearly as you'd like to, but this is why there's a body, so that you can see within the body how God is doing amazing things, and you can begin to put your faith into what God is doing. See, God is good, but he's so much better than good. See, when the world approaches Christ, it lacks an understanding of his true goodness. It's been reduced to a cliche or a catchphrase, a bumper sticker or a t-shirt. Everybody says God is good, and the church goes, and that's not a lie, but some of us just say it off of autopilot. Just like we'll stand for a song off of autopilot. Just like we'll lift our hands off of autopilot. You ever amen at the wrong time? I've heard it. I'm just used to when people get loud, I'm going to shout amen, but oh, I wasn't supposed to amen there because we've all been there before. But we need to get beyond just a place where we utter God is good and we truly believe that God is good. See, as the children of God, as the body of Christ, we have got to know who our Creator is, and we have to understand that he is trying to reveal to us his majesty and his power. He's so much more than good. Colossians 1, 12 through 15, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Please understand where your deliverance comes from. If you've been redeemed of the Lord, we ought to say so, and we ought to believe, and we ought to know how great he truly is. See, David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Church, he is good, and the only one of whom there is no means of measure that can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of the shore of his supplies. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out blessing upon you, because he desires to do it, because he wants to do it. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. Stay with me tonight. I know it's Sunday, and I know it's nighttime, and I realize it's snowing, but we serve a great, good, mighty God, and he wants you to know. Listen to this. He's impartially merciful. He is God manifest in flesh. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in and of himself. He's honest. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the greatest idea in literature. You ever read a book? There ain't no book like the Word of God. There ain't no book like the Bible. And I know we sing it, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the way. And we're all like, oh, I love it in Sunday school. We ought to love it now. We ought to realize we have a manual, instruction, truth. I had a preacher say it like this in my church one time. He said, yes, I understand fact. I understand the fact that the doctor has to deal with X, Y, Z. I understand that your situation is what it is. I get facts, and I know we deal in facts, but we're not those people. We transcend fact, and we move into truth. Truth trumps fact. So the fact may be you have cancer, and the fact may be you're going through a divorce, And the fact may be your children are backslidden, but I believe the truth, and the truth said you're healed, and the truth said that your relationship will be mended because God created one flesh when you said I do, and God said that whatever you've sown into those children, they would not depart from it. See, I have a truth that trumps your fact because that's who God is, and he's a great and mighty God. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of historic theology. He's the carnal necessity of spiritual religion. He is good. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously, not just one at a time, but he takes you and he brings you out because he's God and he's good. I'm just getting started. I hope you're all with me. Hold on. I'm going to give you a minute. Go ahead and clap your hands unto the Lord. I can't even apologize. Pastor, I wanted to apologize for being crazy, but I can't. Because I know where I come from. Because I do know my story. And because I realize how good God is to take me, to take this guy, and to place him here with you people. Folks, he supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's the Almighty God who guides and keeps all his people. Can I tell you the truth? He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. He's so much better than good. He's so much better than good. Has he revealed himself to you? Because if he has, you would know. If he has, you would know that he is better than good. Jesus, the express image of God's person. Let me explain this Greek word character, from which we get the English word character, translated express image. This revealed to us that Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God. The word person here is translated hypostasis, meaning that which underlies something. This is in reference to the essence or essential nature of God. Jesus wasn't a rabbi, simply put. Jesus wasn't just the son of a carpenter. Jesus was not a prodigy. Jesus was not just a healer. Jesus was the express image of God with his essential nature dwelling inside of him. I hope we get it. I know I'm yelling a lot and we can miss stuff. But there's some smart things in here as well. There's some stuff in here we can chew on. I mean, do we really know who Jesus is in our lives? Let this mind be in you. And if Jesus Christ exemplified the nature of God, what ought we to be? What ought we to do? If God really is who he says he is, and he has come and he's placed himself in the body of a man so that he could take on the sin of the world, so that he could be the Redeemer that we needed. And then he decides to fill us with that same Spirit. Ought we not to exemplify the nature of God? Well, what is the nature of God? Now I'm getting deep. This is where all that schooling comes into play. What is the nature of God? Let there be light. Separate the firmament from the firmament. Let there be creeping things and let there be. See, God spoke so many things. His nature is one that speaks life. Bro, I believe that God has you. And when you go through that surgery, I believe the hand of God is with you. And I'm going to speak life into that. Brother, sister, I know you're going through stuff, but I'm going to speak life into your situation because I know how good he is. And he's so much better than that. He's so much more than that. How can we describe him? How can I describe him? He's the doorway of deliverance, amen? The pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Oh, man. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislatures. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings, and he's the lord of lords. He's better than good. These aren't just there for decoration. I mean, hey, pastor, we pay good money for this stuff. I'm sorry if that offends anybody here. But this ain't just to look pretty. It's to help you understand that we serve the Lion of Judah. Judah being praised. We serve a God of praise, and we ought to have that nature in ourselves. So what ought we to be but worshipers speaking the Lord of Lords, realizing that he is greater than anything we could ever imagine. I just want somebody to understand. If you've walked into this place and you're not quite sure if you're going to continue this journey or not, I want you to know exactly who it is you're serving right now. And I want you to know exactly what he's capable of. See, you don't have to live where you're living. You don't have to stay where you're at. See, God wants to pull you into a direction in which you become what he desires you to be. And that is an overcomer, realizing exactly who he is. When we speak of good, we're not talking about the opposite of bad, folks. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love, it never, ever, listen to me, it never changes. His word is absolutely enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him. But he's absolutely indescribable. He's so good. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. You need a hero? Stop looking at the comic books. Hello. God is irresistible. Taste and see that he's good. What was that old Pringle commercial? Once you pop, you can't stop. My kids will destroy a whole can of that mess. Until I stopped eating carbohydrates, so would I. Hello? I want to tell you something, but I don't necessarily have all the words. He wants to show you something. Folks, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, let alone we try to explain how good he is. I don't want him out of my mind. I don't want him off of my hands. Now, here's the thing, folks. You're not going to outlive him. And you certainly can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him. But they found out real quick they couldn't stop who he was. You can lie and cheat. But Jesus exceeds. He exceeds every imagination. To say that there was an opposite of Jesus Christ would be declaring that there is something on the same playing field. Please understand that the enemy is not opposite of Jesus. The devil and Jesus are not at war, folks. Please understand that the enemy wars for your soul. He is not at war with Jesus. He's not at war with God. It just won't work that way. if we put him in the same conversation, we give him way too much power. He's subservient to Christ. Therefore, he cannot be opposite. Does everybody get that? Oh, the devil made me do it. Oh, the devil's got me. Oh, the devil's on. Stop that mess and realize who you serve. Understand who it is you serve. Understand who it is who pulled you out and given you an opportunity at a new life. Who surrounded you with people that actually care about you as opposed to those fools you've been messing with. I know you're not supposed to call people fools. Just realize it's an old saying. I know some of you. Like I said, the scenery may be different, but I get it. We're about all the same. I made a comment about roads we didn't pay for at my church. And boy, oh boy, oh, taxes. Everybody's yelling at me. I said, now hold on. I was talking about not having to understand absolutely everything in order to be a part of it and to use it. I don't understand how roads were made. I don't pour concrete. I don't design roads. I didn't go to school for that mess. I just know that it takes six guys to brush some dirt off a road. That's the extent of my knowledge. And for any of you road construction people, thank you so much for blocking the road. So I was telling my church, I said, look, I don't know how it's made. I don't know how all of this works out, folks. I mean, I don't know what happened to your great-granddaddy if he didn't, get baptized. I don't know how all of these things happen. I just know who Jesus Christ is in my life, and I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of it. And so I said, look, there's some of you traveling on roads you didn't pay for. And, oh, boy. I'm talking about my church. You can tell them when you see them. They're talking about you. Taxes. We pay taxes. I said, hold on. There's roads that were put there well before you were born. That you're traveling on every single day. That you utilize. Listen, folks, there's some of you that are sitting right here right now that are traveling roads you didn't pave and that you didn't pay for. But by God's grace, you're here. By God's grace, you're here. See, while your pastor was burning midnight oil praying for your... My God. You're walking a path you didn't... See, me and my kids, we like to walk in the snow, and we're getting there. My son was so excited when he seen snow, and we like to walk in the snow, but here's why they like to walk in the snow, because it's not so hard on them. See, what I do is I step first, boom, and I step again, boom, and I'm, boom, right? And it's high snow, but see, my son, he comes right behind. What does he do? He walks in my steps. Oh, this is easy. Oh, my feet ain't even cold. I got snow going down my boots, everything, right? They love walking in my footsteps because it's easy, right? Right? See, there's somebody here that are walking in the footsteps that were put before you, and you're thinking, oh, man, this is nice. This is nice. But I want you to understand something tonight. Please, please hear what I'm saying. There's going to be a time when you're not able to follow the footsteps that were put before you because God has a new path. Not one that veers from truth, but a path that you have to walk. A path that you're going to have to take, a decision you're going to have to make. And for some of you right here, right now, you are in that moment and you are making a decision whether you're going to trudge through with the help of the Lord and for those encouraging you along. See, we're not leaving you alone. I'm not talking about walking it alone. What I'm saying is you're going to have to forge a trail. You're going to have to walk your path. You're going to have to go where God is leading you. We're going to encourage you along, but you're going to have to take that next step, and it ain't going to be in my step anymore. And yeah, your feet might get a little cold and a little bit wet, but pretty soon you're going to be walking that stuff, and you'll be just fine. You're going to be just fine. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to look behind you, and you're going to see somebody else walking in your footsteps. See, everybody goes, look, I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't have to find these things and do this stuff and realize this, that, and the other thing. I'll be just fine without it. Maybe you will. But can I tell you, there's somebody coming up along right after you that need to walk in your steps for just a moment. Because, look, they're going to take their own path at some point. But they're going to have to go the way that you went for just a little bit. Because, see, they can't do it by themselves just yet. Because their faith is increasing. And they're learning stuff. And they're trying to figure out how this walk works. And so while I realize the faithful are here tonight, you can encourage somebody that might give you that mess. I don't have to be in church every time the doors open. That's a lie from hell. Because while it may not be for their salvation, it may very well be for the salvation of somebody else coming up behind them. See, God is that good that he will use this fallible individual, this person that doesn't have it all worked out, that doesn't know every Bible scripture by heart, and I wish I did. I've messed up the names sometimes. I don't pronounce the Greek right every time. But I'll tell you what. I know how good God is and how good he's been to me. And if I can be an example for just one other person, that they might be able to walk in those footsteps and it might make it to where they can then stand on their own. By God, by God, let me be that individual. Colossians 2 and 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you realize who he is? We have to understand that it's by him that all things are held together in unity. Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We could not, better yet, creation could not continue without Christ as its sustainer. Folks, I'd like to tell you he's good, but I'd be lacking. My vocabulary is not large enough, but I'm doing my best tonight. The Bible says he has always been, and he always will be. I'm talking about the fact that he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There's nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We know the scripture, amen? Jesus, the Lamb slain, has a special place for us. He knows our shortcomings. He knows the things that we struggle with. Yet, he knows our qualities and our potential. He understands everything from the innocence of a child to the man who's hungry. He's been where you are, and he wants to pull you to a place to be a what? An overcomer. Somebody who realized truly how great God is. Amen. He understands us, and he pays the price for us to destroy the barrier that sin created between humanity and himself. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This was the ultimate purpose for his incarnation. It was God's remedy to the disease of sin. His death and atoning blood made the way for you and for me. 1 John 2 and 2. And he is the propitiation of our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus created the way. It's his footsteps that we follow in. Amen. Accomplishing the highest purpose. Now, I want to read real quick for those that might be new into this, Hebrews 1:3, one more time, because it may lead to some confusion. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I need you to understand that the term right hand is a metaphor that describes power and authority. When the Bible speaks of the right hand of God, it's not speaking of actual hands, as God is an omnipresent spirit. Spirits do not have hands. It is speaking of this as an ultimate place of power. Jesus is in an ultimate place of power. I say that's better than good. See, why'd you tell us all that, preacher? We know that. Because I want you to understand he is greater than good. To realize that he sat at the right hand of the Father is to realize that he is in the ultimate position of power, as the Spirit does not have hands. I'm in a Trinitarian Bible school right now, and I get to read a lot of books about the Trinity. And I love how sincere people are. And I believe sincerity leads. Sincerity leads. Sincerity doesn't save. It leads us to a place of revelation. So this oneness preacher gets to write a lot of papers about what the Bible says as it pertains to the Trinity. Here's what I need you to understand. God is so good that I don't have to be nasty. I don't have to be mean. I don't have to win an argument. I don't have to prove a point. I don't have to tell somebody they don't know something. All I get to do is say, this is what the Word of God says, and let it build upon the faith that they already have. Because their sincerity will lead them to a place where God can reveal. And how would he be able to reveal unless we hold his nature? I love this stuff. It's so simple. It's so simple that even I can understand it. A child can understand it. It's amazing to me. All these doctors, man, they're reading my papers, and I'll get these messages back like, where did you find that? Wait, where did you see that? And I'll get to have these conversations with these doctors and these men that truly love God. They truly love God. But we get to talk about how great God is, that he isn't just simply labeled by what our simple understanding is. He's so much greater than that, that he will truly reveal himself when we diligently seek him. Jesus suffered such humiliation, robing himself in flesh. But now he occupies supreme position. Philippians 2, 5 through 9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of men, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. This is revelation. See, it wasn't like his name is as good as Chris's. That's my name. Man, that Portman, that's a great name. But his name is greater than that. That's a good name. But man, God is so much better than good. Yeah, he's good. But to simply say he's good isn't doing justice. He was given a name that's above every name. In this position, this place of power, one day creation, all of creation, will come to understand how great he really is. Philippians 2, 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Remember, I told you, we have this power of our tongue, that when we speak life. See, we have to understand that when we begin to confess that he is Lord, and we begin to confess that we need him, what he begins to do is he begins to fill, and then he begins to take the tongue and use it for what its purpose was, and that is to intercede and to worship the Father. This is why tongues is so important to the believer, and why we can't simply run past it. This is why we have to understand the giftings of the Spirit. And listen, don't be afraid by what the Bible says, folks. That's why we have the B-I-B-L-E. We love that song until we find something in it we don't agree with. I'm not being nasty, I'm just saying. But see, God is so much better than what you can really fathom in your mind. So to simply stop and say, well, I've experienced talking in tongues once for 5 seconds, and yes, that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside. He wants to do more. See, Pastor was like, hey, look, we're about to experience the move of God. And what happened? See, what the expectation is, we began to respond. And as we responded, that heavenly language began to go out. And what took place there was that we were being edified by the Spirit as God was moving in the place. See, we were beginning to speak life, and life began to be breathed upon the people, just like it was upon the first person, Adam. What happened? God breathed into the nostrils of man, and what took place? He lived. What happens when the word goes forward and we begin to pray in that heavenly language? But the Bible says that his Spirit came through like as of a rushing mighty wind. Why? Filling all the house. Why? So that we would be filled, so that we would speak, so that we would be edified. And that's why they poured out into the street, because they didn't want to just keep it in one place. They wanted everybody to have it. Oh, boy. By this, he is accomplishing the complete subjection of every enemy of God. Remember, I said, oh, the enemy's got me. Oh, I'm just not sure where my faith's at. Oh, I'm just not sure. Check this out, 1 Corinthians 15, 25 and 26. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? What do we speak? That's why he's so much better than good. It's like he had a plan before anything ever took place. How about that? He knew you were going to struggle. But he also knew that you had the opportunity to choose whether you were going to move past the struggle toward the promise. Folks, we can partake in his goodness. Matthew 18, 1 through 5. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. What he's saying here is that we're all in the same boat, folks. Incapable of saving ourselves. We need to be like children. Have fun. Be quick to forgive. Depend on how good he is. Let's stand together. He knows what you feel. He knows where you are. Look, if you haven't received that beautiful baptism of the Holy Ghost yet, and again, I don't know. Maybe it's been a long time. Man, what a beautiful story of a guy that had experienced the Holy Ghost and in the infilling so many years ago, coming into this place and receiving it all over again. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe it's never happened. Maybe you don't even realize what it is, but please let God reveal himself to you, because he's better than what you could think that he is. Maybe you've been waiting a little bit, saying, I just don't know about that baptism thing. I don't want to mess up my hair, or whatever the case may be. I want you to know that once that name is applied to your life, you're placing yourself in position to be grafted into the body. And we talked about how beautiful the body is, how wonderful the body of Christ is, knowing that you're not alone, that we're going to encourage you on your journey, that we're going to be with you, that we're going to help you through, we're going to cheer you on. Look, there's no greater cheerleader in the church than the pastor. And even though we weren't called to be cheerleaders, we're that by nature because we want you to succeed. There is nobody that will be greater in your corner than your pastor, because I'll tell you this, he wants you to succeed. If you've not taken on that name in baptism, you need to be part of the family. Because you have people that love you and care about you right here in this place. There's opportunity tonight. There's opportunity. And I realize that there's pressure at work and there's a load at home of responsibility. And even for some of you in the church, some of you have taken on responsibility in the church and you may feel overwhelmed. I want you to know there's opportunity here tonight. Jesus understands what it's like. When we struggle, he listens. When we yearn, he responds. When we question, he answers. He's our God, and he's greater than what we could even imagine. I know I've said this already, but he's so good. He's so good, and he's trying to draw somebody tonight. He's so good, and he's just simply asking that if you would have faith like a child to just reach out. Has anybody ever seen a kid look at mom or dad and go, up, up? I've never seen a parent look and go, out of here, child. Never. Never, not one time. Never seen it. I've never seen it. Get out of there. Every single time. Every single time. Up. Up. And it's not just over the shoulder, carrying them like a sack of potatoes. It's stupid faces. You know, the Bible talks about a heavenly father, and if we're good to our kids, how much better is he toward us, right? See, he's good, but he's better than good. And I think that if we would just lift our hands up, Lord, up, up. I don't want to be down here anymore. I don't want to sit where I'm at anymore. I want up. I want up. See, because down here it hurts, and I'm tired of hurting, and down here I'm lonely, and I don't want to be lonely anymore, and I've run for so long. Up. Please just pick me up. Up. I can promise you, just like I've never seen it in the physical, I've never seen it in the spiritual, where somebody that has lifted their hands and said, God, please, please receive me into your family. Please receive what I'm saying to you. I've never seen God look and turn somebody away. Not one time. Not one time. Pastor Portman was correct when he said we have an opportunity to experience a tremendous move of God tonight. But that rests solely upon us. See, Jesus is already here. The Spirit of God is already in the place. So what happened next depends upon us. Do we just see him as good like we've always seen him as being good? Yeah, he's good, and I'll see him next week. Let me get out of here. Yeah, he's good. I'll talk to him tomorrow at my prayer time, 5 minutes before I got to run out the door. Or can we, for a moment, can we, for just a period of time, allow God to move through us and respond the way that He's desiring us to respond? I'm calling us to the altar right now in Jesus' name. If you need a touch from God, I want you to lift your hands up, up. If you need a touch from God, I just, hey, look, if maybe you're not comfortable coming up here, right where you're at, God can move. Just lift your hands up, up. Lord, I want your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness, but I know that you're able to forgive my sins because you're better than good. I don't want to live with shame anymore. I don't want to live hurt. I just want up, up, Lord, up. Lord, I need healing in my body, and I've been to every doctor, and I've taken every medication. I've done what they've asked me to do, but I need up, up, Lord. I want to worship like I used to worship, and I'm tired of the depression. I'm sick of anxiety. I just need up, Lord, up, up, Lord. That's it. Begin to speak out, Jesus. Let the Holy Ghost flow. Let the Spirit of God move. It's in your tongue. When you begin to speak, you speak life in Jesus' name. Up, Lord. Up, Lord. That's it. You've been given power. You've been given authority. As you exhibit the nature of God, you can speak life. You can speak life. Maybe you're not dealing with anything, but you're walking through the snow right now and somebody's following you. Somebody's reaching out, trying to follow in your footsteps. Go ahead and keep walking. Keep walking. That's it. I believe miracles are in the house because the miracle worker's in the house. I believe there's a demonstration in the Holy Ghost waiting to happen in the house because He's ready to move. It's really up to us at this point. Jesus, we need you, Lord. Lord, I cry out. Lord, I cry out. Go ahead and lift your voice. Lord, I need you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Mighty God, I praise you. Lord, I praise your name. That's it. That's it. Let the Spirit of God move in the house. He's doing a new thing. There's a mighty work. He's so much better than good. Lord, I worship you. That's it, young lady. That's it, young lady. Go ahead and lift your voice. You don't have to live to any expectation. Just know that He is good. That's it, young man. Love the Lord. Follow after Him. That's it, seasoned individual. Let God move upon you. Move in the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, see my heart right now. Lord, see my heart right now. I need forgiveness. I repent. I'm sorry. I know what I've done is wrong, but I want to live new for you. I realize tonight that my faith is, I've struggled and I've not always made the best decisions, but God, I need you tonight. Forgive me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Strengthen me. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you. Lord, fill me. Fill me until I overflow. Lord, fill me until everything around me becomes saturated with your goodness and mercy. That I can't look around without seeing how awesome and magnificent you truly are. Lord, move in me. Move in me that when I speak with the authority that you've given me through your Spirit. Lord, that when I pray for my lost sibling, or I pray for my hurt in mother, and I'm seeking after you for my classmate, and I'm toiling for my coworker, Lord God, that I would see you move. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. That they could begin to speak out, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Begin to open your mouth and begin to speak unto the Lord. Jesus, we praise you. Glory to you. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.